Blog Talk Radio.
Concern that every individual living on planet Earth. But what is so important and vital that you think everyone should take heed to or think about? Well, basically what it amounts to is since we were created from dust, and when we go back to the dust when we die, our soul and spirit survives death, and we should be concerned about the destination of our spirit and soul prior to death. Because prior to death, that's going to determine where we spend eternity, whether we spend eternity with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all the saints, and people who have gone before us, or if we're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. Now, friends, there's no exit doors in hell. If you're going, you can't get out. There's no time clock, you know, in the earth realm. If you're arrested and you go to jail, you can get out after a period of time, possibly. Even if you got life parole, some people have had their sentences commuted. But when you go on the other side of the grave, there's no commutation of sentence. There's no time clock. If you're not with God, you're just stuck in a place that you don't want to be. All because you didn't have any time for God or the things of God while you were on the earth. You were too busy or too concerned about your own self and what your kingdom or whatever it was you thought you was trying to build. Whoever these people may have been who did this thing, they found out when they perished one day that all of their goods that they had accumulated and built on the earth is not with them. All of the people that they knew are not with them. They are isolated from people. They are by themselves in a place of eternal torment. Okay? So it would behoove everyone to give consideration about, am I storing treasures in heaven, or am I trying to accumulate vast resources on the earth, which are temporary and do not survive death and can't go with you? Okay? Because once you go, that's it. All right. There's no coming back and saying, well, let me do it again, and I made a mistake, and if I just had a little bit more time, I was going to do it. It's too late for that. However, all of the wise people, you know, it says the word of God, it says that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light, okay? They may be wiser in terms of how to deal with things in the world. They get accumulations and possessions and things, okay? But the children of this world are not wise with regard to the things that are eternal, which belong to God, because they don't spend time to inquire of God, to seek him out, to ask him for their direction in their life. They just try to get what they think is important right now while they're running around in the temporary house or tent of their flesh while they are dwelling upon the earth, okay? So today's discussion will be along those genres, and without any further hesitation, I now give words to Pastor Mina Livingston.
God bless you. Thank you, Elder. Thank you for the words, you know, that we need to hear this morning. And we want to share the scriptures with you. And to prove what he's saying, you know, we have to prepare and be ready to meet the coming king. Now, whether we're ready or not, you know, we're still going to have to answer to a supreme being, you know, a builder that's building a building, you know. He has someone that put that building there, and just like a creature has to have a creator, it demands a creator. So this morning we're going to ask you to turn with us for your consideration, Luke, the 16th chapter, the 19th verse. Also, we're coming from Ezekiel, amen, and look at the 33rd chapter. Also, we want you to look at Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, and Job, the 14th chapter. We want you to go to the book of Hezekiah. It tells you after the prayer of Hezekiah, God added 15 more years to him. And you need to really read that and really get into the Word of God with an open heart and talking to God, you know, in reference to what you're reading. Also, we're coming from Matthew, the 25th chapter. You're very familiar with the virgins. And we want you also to turn with us to Psalm 6 and 5. Now, for your consideration, Elder was explaining, you know, that we only have one chance. And the question was that we cannot afford to make this one mistake, and that's miss out what God has for us. And so many people is missing it simply because either somebody didn't tell them, somebody didn't witness to them, or they weren't, you know, they didn't have the core values or whatever, you know, and you know, some people just refuse to believe. But, you know, this is why I want to share this story with you, because it is so important, because we only have one chance and we can't defer it. You know, once we go through this life, it's over with. I want you to know that, you know, there's not any more chances. There's not no more mercy. There's no more forgiveness beyond the grave. You know, God is having mercy now. God is giving us a chance now to make preparation. God is trying to warn us and let us know, you know, the things to come. And we need prayer to meet him, because one day we all have to stand before our Creator. So if we go to Luke, the 16th chapter and the 19th verse, you know, it talks about a certain man, okay? Now, God never mentions people's names simply because sometimes he mentioned in the Bible about people's name and so forth. But in this case, he talks about the rich man. Now, the rich has ambiguous term. When you look at the word rich, I don't want you to take it out of context, because in the eyes of another man, they can determine whether you're rich or not. Rich can also mean that another man's junk is another man's treasure. I want you to understand that, because I want you to put yourself in this word that I'm reading. And we all have a Lazarus, and we all have a rich man. So I want you to see yourself in the Word of God this morning. And there was a certain rich man. So we know that he was rich, and he had fine linen, and he was sumptuous every day. Sumptuous meaning, you know, he had gorgeous linen, and he had money, and he had everything that man, everybody doesn't have. So the thing about it is he had that expensive look. But that doesn't always mean that that you can be rich in a sense that you can buy everything and have everything. But rich can be, in the eyes of another man, is that you got more than I have. And I can be in a stage where I am destituted and I really need someone to help me, and I'm not making enough money, or, you know, I don't have the things that another person may have. However, you can help me if you want to. So I want you to see that what God is trying to tell us, that you have a Lazarus, regardless what you think. There is a Lazarus that you are dealing with. You see them every day. I don't care if you're going to work, if you're driving. Sometimes you see people putting up signs, you know, I'm homeless. I need, you know, can you spare me a dime, you know, can you help me? And people really, really are destituted and trying to get some help, and they can't get help from, you know, government and so forth. So the thing about it is, when you see somebody in need, you just don't walk on the other side of the street. You try to help that individual if all possible. If you cannot help them, then you're supposed to point them in the right direction. This is what God is trying to tell us in this story today. And we're not going to detain you long because we don't have enough time to bring all these scriptures. But we did give you the scripture to look into it, to read it, and so forth. But the emphasis here in this lesson is that it's not that God don't want you to have anything, because the Bible says he wished that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul will prosper. But what he wants us to do is to remember our purpose, to remember our Creator and why he created us and why we are here. And so we can't afford to make any kind of mistake, you know, simply because it will come back to haunt us. And it may haunt us for the rest of our lives. So the thing about it is, if we do the right thing and if we just hear what the Spirit is saying to us and do it, you know, we're going to be in good favor in God's eyes. So I want to read that 20th verse, and it says, "And there was a certain beggar, his name was Lazarus. And he laid at the gate, okay, with sores. And he desired to be fed with crumbs, which fell off the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And he went to hell and lift up his eyes in torment and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and sent Lazarus that he may dip finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. The 25th verse said, But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comfort, and thou art tormented. Now, I want to stop break right here simply because when the rich man had a chance to help Lazarus, I mean, he sat at his gate, and all he wanted, he said, I just want the crumbs off your table. And you see each and every day that there is someone that you see that's homeless, somebody that's destitute, and look, all they need is a helping hand, and you never had a chance or never took the time to help that individual. So my point is, we're all going to leave here. We're all going to die. And the thing about it is, when we die, that's it. We can't come beyond the grave, you know, and fix things. We have to fix things now. So I'm going to come back to Lazarus. So let's go to Psalms right quick, 6 and 5. And listen to what it says. It says, for in the death there is no remembrance of thee. And in the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with the groaning all the night. Make I my bed to swim, and I water my couch with my tears. So what he's saying, there's no remembrance beyond the grave. There's no praise. There's no repentance. You can't go back and ask anyone to forgive you if you wronged them, or, you know, if you owe somebody. And see, that's another thing. You know, we live raggedy lives, and God is not pleased that, especially, you know, when we say that we are Christians, and we say that, you know, we love the Lord, and we can't even do the right thing, because most of us can't even pay our bills on time. We, you know, sometimes we owe people and won't even contact them to make an arrangement to try to pay them. We try to sweep it under the rug and act like it's not there. See, God is looking. He's taking record of all this, and you have to be good stewards over your money. So the thing about it is, God looking at you, even when you go to the grocery store and you know, and how you even shop, you know, just the small things that we don't take note of, and, you know, putting your shopping cart back in its place, and, you know, and when you took something out of order, you should put it back, you know, and you should say thank you and so forth. But many times, you know, we don't think that's important. So, you know, the thing about it is, we don't want you to be like the rich man. You know, he died and he went straight to hell, but, you know, he couldn't make it right because it was over with. So the thing about it, that Lazarus went to Jesus, and, you know, and he was in the bosom of God, meaning that was just a resting place, you know, a place that God, you know, gave him rest and comfort. You know, so many times, you know, you see people suffering, people hurting, people dying, and we ignore it. They say, well, you know, that's them, that's not me. But, you know, God, you're going to have to stand before God, and God's going to say to you one day, he's going to say, you know, you didn't feed me. When I was hungry, you fed me not. When I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me now. And you're going to say, well, when did I do these things? When you did it to my least one. When we, you know, have the chance and opportunity, we can, you know, go up to the hospital and visit those that are sick, especially, you know, people that we know and people that, you know, a lot of times are lonely and have no one. And we know them, and we just ignore and say, you know, that's their lives. You know, so you should ask yourself a question: am I brother's keeper? Am I, you know, what is my purpose here? What am I here for? And I wanted to bring another scripture to let you know you only come through this life once. And, you know, you got purpose, and you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do for God. You cannot copy nobody else or try to keep up with the Joneses. You have to find out from God what you have to do. And time you figure that out, you don't have no time to get into nothing else but do what God has called you to do, because it takes a lifetime sometimes to even figure that out. But even that, you know, that doesn't stop you from doing what God called you. You can still continue to make preparation. You continue to pray. You continue to seek God. And you continue, and after a while, you'll know your purposes. You know what you're supposed to do. You should know, actually, when you was a child, because your gifts and talents make room for you, and you can see the talents and the gifts even in your children, you can see that they're really gifted, you know, doing little things, you know, and you see them, you know, acting like the doctor, you know, and examine the doll baby, you know, and act like, you know, he's the doctor. Or you can see them dressing up dolls and, you know, or she's, you know, changing up the clothes and she likes to dress the doll and fix the hair. You know, that lets you know that child maybe be getting into designing or love to get into decoration and so forth. Or you see your son or your daughter, you know, beating the drums or playing the guitar, singing, you know, or dancing or whatever. That lets you know. That's just a hint right there to let you know those gifts and talents start small, but then they begin to develop them, and they begin to, you know, to utilize them when they get grown. So the thing about it is, what we have to do is be about our Father's business. And I want to read this to you, and unfortunately, we know that a lot of people are not going to believe, they're not going to receive that. And that's what happened to the rich man. When he died and went to hell, as you read the story, you'll find out that he tried to talk to God to let him go back to warn his brothers, you know, that he's been tormented not to come this way. And you, once you read the Word of God, you find out that, you know, there's a boundary, there's a gulf between life and death, and you can't go beyond it. And so the book of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, now listen what it says. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. So as you read this, you'll find out, amen, we all don't have long. Promise us 70 and 10, and 80 with reasonable service. So the thing about it, that lets you know that man's his time is limited here on this earth. And if you go to Job, the 14th chapter, Job make it very clear. He said, if a man dies, shall he live again? All my appointed time, I'm going to wait till my change come. So he let us know, you know, I'm waiting on my change. And, you know, and things is happening, you know, but I'm still waiting for things to work out, because many times people give up. And you got to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finish of your faith. So if you look at Job, the 14th chapter, he said, a man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Everywhere you go, there's trouble. Every time you turn on the television, there's trouble. There's always headaches and pain. There's always something that needs to be corrected. And who's doing all this? Oh, who you say? Your adversary. You know, you can't see him because he's a spirit, just like God is a spirit. And all he does, he has the power of persuasion. You know, he'll tell you, you know, it's all right to do this, it's all right to do that, but you really need to know God's word. You really need to hear the voice of the Lord and read his word and be saved. Because many times, you know, we think we're doing the right thing and we're not doing the right thing. So the thing about it is, we can live this presumptuous life and just miss out everything. We can miss heaven. And the thing about it is that we have to stand before the judgment. We got to stand before God and give account to why we have not obeyed his voice, why we didn't surrender, why we didn't do the things that he told us to do. Now, the thing about it is, you know, this is the dressing up day. This is the dressing up room. This is the time to make your calling election sure. So we want to continue to talk about the rich man and Lazarus, because it's so important. And the thing about it is, even when he was in hell, he asked God to let him go back or some way, somehow, to send a message back to his brothers and people that he knew, because he knew that there were some people doing the same thing he was doing. And he didn't want them to. He did not want them to make the same mistake that he did. But you know what? Everybody have a chance. Everybody have a chance to make it right. So, you know, God is just a God, you know, that he's a just and he's a righteous God. And he give us plenty of time to make our scores. So here, look at what the 26th verse said. It says, and besides all this between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Now, the King James Version is sometimes a little hard to read, but, you know, you can get your revised King James Version. And all this actually said here, there was a gulf between Lazarus and life, because he already had passed from life to death. And there was a gulf between that. So he couldn't go back and warn his brothers or tell them, you know, not to come this direction to make things right. So the thing about it is that we have to make things right now. So he said that he, look at the 28th verse, and said, for I have five brothers, that he may testify of them, lest they also come unto the place of torment. The 29th verse says, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophet, and let them hear them. The 30th verse said, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. The 31st verse said, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, the one that came from the dead. In other words, if they're not hearing the prophets now, they didn't hear Moses then, and they didn't hear the prophets long then, and now you're still trying to tell people, you know, to get the house in order, to make things right. If they're not hearing the people now, the evangelists and the prophets and the apostles and the ministers and the pastors now, what makes you think that, you know, that somebody that come from the dead, they're going to hear them? Because they have that same chance, that same opportunity to make things right. But you know what? Some people just do not care and do not want to know. Some people could care less. But I'm telling you, now you have to have a changed heart. You have to seek God and find out, Lord, what would you have me to do? What do I need to do? Especially when you don't know what your calling is. And everybody got a calling there. Everybody got gifts and talents. So we can't be like the rich man that, you know, had rice living, and then we had plenty while we was alive, and while we had a chance, we could have helped somebody else, but we didn't. We just took our money. We weren't good stewards of our money. You wouldn't pay your tithes. You wouldn't give your offerings. You wouldn't even send money overseas to help those people that has no medical care, that has no homes, that have no shoes, that have no drinking water. You have not done anything. And the thing about it is so sad. And the thing about it, the churches are full of people that say they're ministers of God, they're evangelists, and they're apostles, but yet they all still sit here and they have not left the place yet. You got enough training and teaching to go out and get the gospel to the lost. while you have a chance. Now, if you think about Matthew, the 25th chapter, you know, read it. I don't have time to go through it, but the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise, you need to find out what happened to them, because 5 of them was foolish. 5 of them did not make it. They were all clean virgins, but yet there was 5, amen, that trimmed their lamps and was able to go unto the bridegroom. So the thing about it, the door is closing, and while we have a chance, we have to make it right. So we hope that you got something out of the Word of God. It was not easy. Amen. Sometimes you have to take the time and read the Word, and when you feel like, you know, you just limit the time, can't get it all in like you want to. But you can take the time out of your study, and you can read the Word of God and give God some quality time. And soon and very soon, we will be going to 2 hours, and so we can have in-depth study and teaching on the Word of God. So we hope that you receive the Word of God. We didn't come to offend no one or make you feel bad. We're just trying to warn you. We don't want to be like the rich man that died and went to hell, and then you're trying to send a message back. You know, now's the time to receive salvation. Now's the time to make everything right, to make our calling, election sure. God has been so good to us. So God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you, and thank you.